This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Jesus said these words. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That where I am, there ye may be also. Let's pray. God, as we bow our heads, I pray today for that man, woman, boy, or girl that's here who doesn't know you as personal Savior. I believe in you for a great harvest. I'm believing you that many people are going to come to know you in this service, through this message, as personal Savior. And Jesus, for all you do, we bow our unworthy heads and we praise you. For I pray this prayer until you come in Christ's name. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the greatest touchdown. The greatest touchdown. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. This afternoon is the most watched athletic event of the year. This year, the Philadelphia Eagles are playing the Kansas City Chiefs. And they will be tons of people that will be watching it television. Tons of people that will be streaming the service. Some will actually be there watching it live. The average ticket price is $6,382. That's just the average ticket price to go and watch the game. $6,382. The game this year will be played in Phoenix, Arizona. Because of the Super Bowl being in Phoenix, Arizona, it will pump in better than $1 billion into the Phoenix economy just because of this game. Last year, 112 million people watched the game. A 30-second commercial. There'll be new commercials. The way I understand it, two of those commercials this year are going to be dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. A 30-second commercial, to have a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl is going to cost $7 million. This is what I know. The secret to winning that game is going to be scoring the most touchdowns. The secret to winning that game is simply going to be getting the most touchdowns. I love what Jesus said. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." I see the peace in that. Let not your heart be troubled. I see the peace in that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. Believe. I see the pattern. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. I see the pattern. In my Father's house are many mansions. I see the place. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And I will come again. Not only do I see the peace, not only do I see the pattern, not only do I see the place, but I see the promise. I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now I want you to understand something. For every one time that the Bible said Christ was coming the first time, eight times it says he's coming the second time. For every one time it said he's coming the first time, eight times he said, "I'm coming the second time." 1,880 845 times Jesus referred to his second coming. Apparently, God wants us to see the second coming. Now, I want you to understand, the second coming of Christ is in two parts. The first part is the rapture. The second part is the revelation. There are 7 years between them. You say, well, Pastor, the rapture is the catching away. The revelation is the revealing of Christ. What's the difference between the rapture and the revelation? Well, at the rapture, he comes in the air. But during the revelation, he literally comes to earth. During the rapture, he's coming for his saints. But in the revelation, he's coming with his saints. During the rapture, he claims the bride. But thank God during the revelation, he's coming with his bride. Amen? The rapture will take place in the twinkling of an eye. But the revelation, according to Revelation 1 and 7, every eye will see him. At the rapture, it begins the tribulation. But at the revelation, it begins the millennium. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible says there'll come a time at the end of the tribulation period that the great nations of the earth will gather against Israel. The great nations of the earth will gather against Israel. You say, Pastor, what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. When they gather against Israel, Zechariah tells us in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, it says, when they gather against Israel, that Israel is the apple of God's eye. The apple of God's eye. Psalms 121, verse 4 says, he that watcheth over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is constantly watched over by the Lord. So Zechariah tells us in Zechariah chapter 14, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. What's going to happen? Those nations are going to come against Israel. But when they come against Israel, verse 4 says this, and his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. What's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, when those nations come against Israel? Jesus Christ is going to come back. Jesus Christ is going to come back. And ladies and gentlemen, he's going to plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. He's going to plant his feet on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to be the greatest touchdown ever. It's going to be the greatest touchdown ever. When he touches down and he plants his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says that mountain literally will cleave in two. Perhaps the Catholics and Notre Dame has it correct. He is going to be touchdown Jesus, amen? He is going to be touchdown Jesus because he is going to touch down and he's going to rule and he's going to reign, and it's going to be the greatest touchdown ever. Somebody said, Pastor, this world is falling apart. No, no, no. This world is falling into prophetic place. This world is falling into prophetic place. You say, Pastor, I don't know what this world's coming to. I do. This world's coming to Jesus. This world's coming to Jesus. It's happening just like God said that it was going to happen. Now, you got to understand something. For there to be the greatest touchdown ever in Zechariah 14, verses 3 and 4, Zechariah 14, verses 1 and 2 has to happen. Look what it says. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Look here. Jerusalem is mentioned 802 times in the Bible. In order for there to be the great touchdown of Jesus at Jerusalem, the Bible tells us four things that must happen before the touchdown can take place. You said, Pastor, what are the four things that's got to happen in Jerusalem, Israel, before the touchdown can take place? Number one, there has to be the rebirth of the nation of Israel. There has to be the rebirth of the nation of Israel. You see, I want to understand eschatology. I want to understand the end times. I want to understand prophecy. There's three simple words: Jesus, Jews, and Jerusalem. You want to understand the end times? Study Jesus, study Jews, study Jerusalem. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. In 70 AD, a Roman general by the name of Titus invaded Jerusalem, Israel, literally destroyed the Temple Mount, built scaffolding around the temple, and set the scaffolding on fire, and took control of Jerusalem, and rebuilt it as a Roman city. So for 2,000 years, it was not controlled by the Romans, but the Persians took control of it. The Muslims took control of it. The Crusaders took control of it. The Ottoman Empire took control of it. The British, after World War I, controlled Jerusalem, Israel. Now here's what I want you to see. When this happened, for 2,000 years, there was no nation of Israel. The diaspora took place. What is the diaspora, Pastor? It's when the Jews dispersed themselves. They deported into 70 different nations because there was no nation of Israel. For almost 2,000 years, there was no nation. But yet all the Bible prophecies dealt with the nation of Israel, something that didn't exist. But 700 years before Christ, there was a prophecy. And this prophecy 700 years before Christ in Isaiah 66 verse 8 said that a nation would be born in a day. A nation would be born in a day. How can a nation be born in a day? Because American president by the name of Harry Truman pressured and encouraged the United Nations to regain statehood to the nation of Israel. And on May the 15th, 1948, Israel was once again restored as a nation. And a nation was born in a day, just like the Bible said it would be. No statehood for 2,000 years. But then, ladies and gentlemen, in one day, it's reborn. Does the Bible prophesy this? Matthew chapter 24 says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. The fig tree, according to Hosea 9 and 10, and according to 1 Kings 4 verse 25, the fig tree represents the nation of Israel. It's symbolic of Israel. Now look what he says. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know summer's nigh. The branch has been dead, but the spring and summer comes and it's reborn." Representing the nation of Israel. For 2,000 years, ladies and gentlemen, it was dead. But it was reborn in one day. So likewise, when you see all these things, know ye that it is near, even at the door. When you see a nation reborn, you've got to understand something. Just as somebody comes to the door of your house, friend, they're almost in. They're nigh at the door. They're almost in the house. He said, when you see Israel reborn as a nation, you got to understand they're at the door. Verily I say unto you, get this, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Wait. The generation that saw, you come up real close, the generation that saw the rebirth of Israel. So what we've got to do is we've got to study what is a generation. We'll go to the book of Genesis. And he said to Abraham, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them and shall afflict them 400 years. Wait. The children of Israel were 400 years in bondage in Egypt. 400 years. Now, Genesis 15, look what verse 16 says. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. So if the fourth generation is the last 100 years, according to Genesis, a generation is 100 years. So it took place in 1948, 2023, 75 years. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. It could happen any time. It could happen any moment. It could happen before we finish this service. The coming of Jesus Christ is nigh at the door. Before the greatest touchdown ever can take place. He said there has to be the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And it's happened. He said, wait. There had to be a second thing happen. There had to be, the Jews had to control Jerusalem. The Jews had to control Jerusalem. Let me explain. In 1948, when statehood was regained, you got to understand something. The Jewish people still didn't control Jerusalem. Jordan controlled Jerusalem, and Egypt controlled the Gaza Strip. They were 650,000 Jews in the land, surrounded by 40 million Arabs. They were outnumbered 30-1 and lived in constant fear. 1967, Egypt, Syria, and Jordan decided they would take control of Israel. They invaded Israel on June the 5th. The war only lasted to June the 10th. It was the six-day war. These Arab nations attacked Israel. But when they attacked Israel, they encountered more than they had bargained for. Because after that six-day war, 20,000 Arabs were dead and less than 1,000 Jews. And the Jews controlled four times the landmass they did before the war, including Jerusalem, Israel. It happened just like God said it was going to happen. It happened like God said it was going to happen. The Jews would once again control Israel. And I thank God that in 2019, America recognized Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel, just like God said it would happen. You say, Pastor, where do you get that prophecy? In Luke chapter 21. Look what verse 24 says. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. Remember, I told you, the diaspora, the deporting of the Jews into 70 different nations. And they'll led away captive. Wait. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Ladies and gentlemen, you're either a Jew or a Gentile. And it was trodden down of the Gentiles for 2,000 years whether that be the Ottoman Empire, whether that be the Muslims, whether that be the Brits, whether that be the Palestinians, it was trodden down for 2,000 years. But I want you to know, in 1967, it was no longer trodden down, but the Jews again regained control of Jerusalem, Israel, just like God said it would happen. There's a third thing that has to happen before the great touchdown. There has to be instant technology. There has to be instant technology. Revelation chapter 11 verse 3 says this: I'll give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. I'll elaborate more when I have time. What this is talking about is at the beginning of the tribulation, God's going to send two witnesses back to preach the gospel. There's various opinions of who it's going to be. I believe it's going to be Enoch and Elijah. Why do you think it's going to be Enoch and Elijah? Because they never died. If you remember, Enoch got to walk in so close with God, God took him to heaven. He said, it's closer to your house than it is to mine. Let's go to my house. Elijah was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. They're going to preach for 3.5 years. God's always going to have a witness. God's always going to have a messenger. God's always going to have somebody who'll stand and preach the word of God. Yes. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7 says this: and when they shall have finished their testimony. I just want you to understand something, folks. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, you travel all over and you're all the time on these airplanes. Do you ever worry about it? No. Because if God wants me, he don't need an airplane to get me. No, he don't need an airplane to get me, because I want you to understand something, folks. You are immutable until God's done with you. You are immutable until God's done with you. I mean, listen, you're here till God is finished. Now look, and when they finish the testimony, the beast, that's the Antichrist, that comes out of the bottomless pit. He'll make war against them. He'll overcome. He'll kill them. And their dead bodies, these two witnesses, they're going to lie in the street of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Jerusalem literally digresses to the point of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have no problem seeing how that could happen. The next verse says, and they of the people, wait, and kindreds and tongues and nations are going to see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying within 3 days, all nations, all kindreds, all tongues, all people are going to see their bodies. I don't know if you realize it, folks. That was not possible 100 years ago. But it's possible today because of satellite, because of communication, because of streaming, because of the internet, because of technology, because of advancements. Everything is in place. Everything is in place for the prophecy that God said was going to happen in 90 AD to be fulfilled. Let me give you one more. That is, the Jews had to return home. The Jews had to return home. See, the Bible says in Jeremiah 31, 17, 600 years before Christ, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that the children shall come again to their own border. Let me explain. The prophecy 600 years before Christ is the Jews would return to their homeland. In 1948, when Israel regained statehood, only 6% of the Jews in the world were actually in Israel. Only 6%. But the Bible said, you got to understand, before the greatest touchdown ever, the Jews have got to come home. And today, 7 million Jews are in their homeland. Better than 50% of the Jewish population are today in Israel. They're in their homeland. Jeremiah said 600 years before Christ in Jeremiah 23, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel," wait, "out of the north country and from all countries whither I've driven them," look, "and they're going to dwell in their own land." In their own land. It's the Israelis' land. Anybody that, listen folks, there's a message I preach, but anybody that pressures Israel to give away their land, a curse is coming to them. A curse, I can prove it from the Word of God. Those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. Now wait. The verse says in verse 8, they're going to return to their land. And they're going to return from the north country. I want you to understand, folks, anytime directions are given in the Bible, the center of the earth is Jerusalem, Israel. So when it says from the east, it means east of Jerusalem. When it means north, it's north of Jerusalem. You've got to understand something. If you were in Jerusalem, Israel, 200 miles north of you is Russia. 200 miles north is Russia. So that prophecy is given that they will return from the north country. That was impossible, ladies and gentlemen. That was impossible in the late 80s. It was impossible because you had communism. You had the Soviet Union. But in the early 90s, you had the collapse. I believe he's coming back. Like he said, I believe the trumpet's going to sound so loud. On that day, it's going to wake the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky. I believe he's coming back. Like he said. When the Soviet Union collapsed and they became 15 individual nations, hundreds of thousands of Russian Jews started returning to the land. Just like the Bible. Oh, goodness gracious. Just like the Bible. Just like the Word of God prophesied. You said, wait, Pastor. You said, wait, Pastor. I just got to be honest with you. I can't get all that out of the Word of God. You're exactly right. You can't. It's there to stay. It's there to stay. It really is. It's there to stay. But folks, one day the greatest touchdown is going to happen. One day the greatest touchdown is going to happen. And Jesus Christ is going to touch down. He's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. He's going to touch down on that panoramic view of Jerusalem. And when he touches down, ladies and gentlemen, on the Mount of Olives, that mountain literally is going to cleave in two. When that mountain cleaves in two, he's going to walk down the Kidron Valley. He's going to walk down the Kidron Valley. And when he walks down that Kidron Valley, those rocks are going to cry out in praise to him. Those rocks are going to cry out in praise to him. He'll walk down that Kidron Valley. Those rocks are going to cry out in praise to him. Those graves there in that Kidron Valley, those Old Testament saints and those tribulation saints, literally as he walks down that valley, they're going to resurrect out of those graves. They're going to look back at those graves and they're going to say, "Oh grave, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting?" He'll walk from the Kidron Valley up to the Temple Mount. When he gets up to the Eastern Gate, he'll come to that gate. And the Muslims, they heard that he's coming through that Eastern Gate. So the Muslims want to prohibit him from coming through that Eastern Gate. And ladies and gentlemen, they filled it up with 16 feet of concrete. 16 feet of concrete. But what they don't realize is rocks and tombs can't keep him in. Walls and rooms can't keep him out. He'll walk through that 16 feet of concrete. He'll make his way up on the Temple Mount. He'll see the throne of his father David, and he'll plant his feet on that throne, and he'll rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, folks, he's been before. He came the first time. But there's going to be a big contrast between the first time and the second time. Because see, the first time he came to a manger, but the next time he'll come as a monarch. The first time he came in shame, but this time he'll come in splendor. The first time he came to a crucifixion, but the next time he'll come to a coronation. The first time he came to a tree, but the next time he'll come to a throne. Why the first time he stood before Pilate, but the next time Pilate will stand before him. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Oh, the first time they said nail him, remain standing. The first time they said nail him, but the next time they'll say hail him. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Can we praise him? Let me tell you what it's going to be, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be the greatest touchdown ever. It's going to be the greatest touchdown ever. No offense, Georgia Bulldogs. No offense, Tom Brady. But it's going to be the greatest touchdown ever. Friend, here's what I know. If I was here today and I didn't know the Lord, I'd say, my goodness, you can't make all this stuff up. I'd say, my goodness, that Bible is more current than tomorrow's news. I'd say, I'm going to make sure, I want to know that I know that I know that I'm right with God. Church, I'll tell you what we ought to say. The Bible talks about being ashamed at his coming. I don't want to be ashamed of his coming. I want to be sold out for God. I don't want to be straddling some fence. There's no fence to straddle. I want to be sold out for God. Because it's nigh at the door. It's nigh at the door. You say, Pastor, you've startled me. Well, I'm telling you, if these 2 weeks have startled you, the next two are going to kill you. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's nigh at the door. Whatever we do for God, we better be doing. Whatever we do for God, we better be doing. Adrian Rogers said we need to live like he died yesterday. He arose this morning and he's coming back this afternoon. Why to live like he died yesterday, arose this morning, and he's coming back this afternoon? Because he's coming. It's nigh, ladies and gentlemen. It's nigh at the door. Why would, Pastor, why do you give it everything you've got? Because eternity is too long to be wrong. It's too long to be wrong. You need to know that you know that your heart's right with God. It's not something to play with, sir. This is serious. This is very serious. Very serious.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.